he goes into to show all the different works that are there and lists them down and talks about all the work that is done. Says all this is also vanity. Trying to forget about eternity and live for the now and just enter into works is also empty after some time. Verse 13, chapter 4. Better is a poor and wise youth than an old foolish king who will be admonished no more. And it says here, verse 14, for he comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second you who stands in his place. There was no end and all of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who came afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Grasping for the wind. Here is where he talk about a popularity. This person who comes from the prison to the palace and find reigns over the people, reach the heights of popularity. And he says it is also in vain. Possibly he's referring in a sense to himself, although he was a prince, son of David. But he reached the heights of popularity. King Solomon was known all over. People from distant land came and sought after him. The Queen of Sheba came after him. But he found that all the popularity was in vain. It was not something you could keep. In chapter 5, looking over chapter 5, says here, he tries gold and silver. He goes for wealth. That's what some people go for. Some go for philosophy, and some go for pleasure. Some are just workaholics. Some go for fame. Well, some go for the money. Or rather, a lot go for the money. Chapter 5 says, and talks about money. Verse 10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase to eat them. I was talking to one businessman many years ago, about 2 years ago, and he built his company from a smaller company to quite a huge company. And I said, how's business? He said, everything is bigger, the company is bigger, office space is bigger, money coming in bigger, but the end result, take home, is still the same. So what happened? He says, the bigger it grew, the more expenses they were. So, that's the direct fulfillment of these words. Of course, I told him that, you know, I don't think God intended it to be that way. There may be a few holes somewhere where the money is escaping. Chapter 5 verse 11 is true in some incidences, in some situations. But it talks about the vanity of money. After getting all the money, there is still no satisfaction in the heart. There is still emptiness. People still feel empty. Chapter 6. Chapter 8, that's right. So finally, some go for philosophy, some go for pleasure, some just want to work without being concerned about what is to come and what has been, but just work and work like real robots. And some go for the money, some go for fame, some try morality. Some try morality. And chapter 8, he also tried that. He tried what the worldly people would classify as holiness, although the Bible has its own classification, or righteousness. So from a life of pleasure, he turns to a high moral life to seek fulfillment. Give up everything. Chapter 8. In chapter 8, we see here in looking over here in verse 16. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though no one sees no sleep, day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, the wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. So there is this struggle looking for understanding. And then he continues in chapter 9. For I consider all this in my heart. Verse 1. Chapter 9 verse 1. So that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred but anything that is before them. Then he says in verse 2, everything occurs alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, the unclean, to him who sacrifices, to him who does not sacrifice, as is good, so is a sinner, and he who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. And in the end he found that high morality, or what he just calls righteousness — he doesn't deal with holiness here, he only deals with righteousness — and trying to keep the laws of morality, etc., he still finds an emptiness. Why? Because when he sees that the wicked didn't keep the laws, and yet they look the same, there's frustration in his heart. So as we read this book, and if we read this book without the light of the Holy Spirit, you can get very frustrated. This is one of the books where if you do not read carefully, it seems to contradict the other scriptures in the Bible. However, there's an underlying theme in this book. I'm just showing how King Solomon approached this book. But I'm just throwing out a few bits and pieces here, the six major areas that you see the theme in the six areas he tried to search into. Some Bible scholars classify about 10 areas. And as I look carefully, those 10 could be classified into the six major areas that we have outlined that men will pursue. It's either fame or wealth or pleasure or whatever, one of these areas. Or they're trying to find some satisfaction in life, which King Solomon tried everything under the sun possible. This approach has an underlying theme. There are three things that you must remember that Solomon took when he approached this book. It's a good thing that the next week we are on Song of Solomon. These two books must go very close together. Because as Ecclesiastes may depress you, Song of Solomon refresh you. But if you look carefully, it should not depress you. But if you look on the superficial level, it seems to do so. It looks very pessimistic. Everything, vanity, vanity, sorrow, sorrow. Until he said to die is better than to live. See, how can that be in the Bible? There is a verse inside there. If you read carefully, he says, you know, it's better to die than to live. He said the dead is better than those alive. What kind of person is he? If that is so, he might as well die without writing. You see, if he says that the dead are better than the living, this is in chapter 7. He mentioned in verse 2, chapter 7 verse 1 and 2. A good name is better than precious ornament. The day of death than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And that is the end of all men. And no, his conclusion is terrible. In his backslidden condition, his wisdom went into the other side. And if he believed that to die is better than to live, he has to write a sentence there so that those who are alive will read it and get miserable. Because the dead cannot read and rejoice. I wonder whether they have the book of Ecclesiastes in hell or not. we will not need it in heaven. Right? It will be there, of course. The whole Bible will probably be there in heaven, heaven's museum. 1 Christian asks, brother, do we have to do devotional life in heaven? In heaven you can see God. You want to do devotion and just walk up to God and say, hello God. Say devotional time. Praise the Lord. In heaven, the Bible is only in the museum. And just to remind us of this earthly life, how useful it was. And it is. There's three underlying themes that Solomon approached in his sort of backslidden stage, and in his conclusion, he came back to God. And this is a record of his years away from God. Understand the context. Behind it is his years away from God. Only in the last few chapters, he returns back to God. He remembers the Creator of his youth. Three underlying themes here. The first is Solomon found that a selfish life, praise the Lord, I'll stand over this side. King Solomon found, number one, in this book, it's if you take a selfish approach in life, there is no fulfillment. See, he goes for pleasure, he goes for philosophy for himself, pleasure for himself, he works for himself. And you see, the vanity, if you read carefully, when he finds the vanity and the dissatisfaction, is when he works for himself. Like he says, the man who works and works, gathers everything, and then somebody enjoys it, he finds it miserable and vanity. So, one underlying theme is that as long as a person is selfish, whether you go for philosophy, or you go for wealth, or you go for popularity, or you go for whatever else, in the end you will not be satisfied. All the six roads you take will not satisfy you as long as there's selfishness inside. That's one underlying theme. The second underlying theme that we must remember as we approach this book is that this book doesn't consider eternity. It only considers this life as a full stop. This book takes the approach in the first major part of this book. It takes the approach that if all there is this life, it is a miserable life. So that's the second underlying theme. This book, during Solomon's backslidden stage, he took that this life is the only life. And if anybody takes the approach that this life is the only life, you will be like what the author Kohelet, which is the Hebrew word for the preacher, Ecclesiastes here, takes that everything is empty and is vanity. But as long as you realize that there is another life, that this life is a temporary life, that we have eternity. Like there's one word that say, God has made man with eternity in his heart. When we begin to realize there's eternity, which is our permanent home in heaven, this life takes on a different perspective. Because we live not for the now, we live for the hereafter. And what we do faithfully. You see, there's no purpose. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then there is no purpose. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me quote that verse. In 1 Corinthians 15, that Magna Carta on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15.